Rick Stevens, financial advisor with FRS Financial Group, offers securities and investment advisory services through Waddell & Reed Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA and SIPC, and a federally registered investment advisor. FRS Financial Group is a separate entity from Waddell & Reed. Insurance products are offered through insurance companies with which Waddell & Reed has sales arrangements. The information presented on this show is solely for information purposes and is not to be construed as an offer to sell or the solicitation of an offer to buy any financial product or service mentioned. Waddell & Reed does not offer tax or legal advice. Please consult with a professional prior to making any financial decisions. Any opinions expressed are those of Rick Stevens and may not be the opinions of Waddell & Reed. The information is subject to change based on market and other conditions. For more detailed information regarding any of the topics discussed on today's show, please call 719-500-8700. This is Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial. Here's your host, Rick Stevens.
Well, thank you for joining us and welcome in to Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial Group. I am Rick Stevens. I am your host, and this is your show. If you have topics that you would like to hear discussed, please let me know. Feel free to give me a call at 719-500-8700. You can shoot me an email, rstevens@frsfinancialgroup.com. You can also go to our website, frsfinancialgroup.com. Click on that contact tab at the top. Scroll down. Send us your questions. Send us your message. We would love to hear from you. Folks, this week on Money Matters, we, believe it or not, are going to talk about numbers. And what I mean by numbers, we're going to talk a little bit about what the market is, what it looks like, some things that folks out of some research are expecting as we come down the pike. We're going to talk a number of different things, and we are going to start with the fact that not every number is counted the same. Now, what in the world could that possibly mean? Well, when we talk about things going on in quote-unquote the market, what I typically look at as the market, we hear about the Dow Jones, we hear about the NASDAQ. I typically look at the market through the lens of what they call the S&P 500. Now, the S&P 500, that consists of 500 stocks that are chosen based on the market size, their liquidity, meaning can we get in and out of this. They also have a specific industry group that they represent. And the S&P 500 then is a market value that weights based on the actual number of stocks, that percentage of stock, that they have in the entire index, which is what they would call proportionate to the market value. What that means is that the larger companies that have a larger market value get a bigger portion of the S&P 500. So they're not just 500 equally weighted. Okay, you have some large companies, some mid-sized companies, some small companies in there. As of the close of trading last Friday, so October 15, 2021, five stocks in the S&P 500, meaning 1% of the total stocks that they look at, those five stocks are responsible for 20% of the gains in the S&P 500 on any given year. And you might be thinking, oh my goodness, isn't that a little bit off? That's typically the way we've seen this in the last several years. So one of the things that we need to do when we're looking at what our portfolio is to say, okay, that's great that, you know, five stocks account for 20% of that total return on the year, but are we diversified enough? Do we have our money spread out over enough different possibilities in there? Whether we've bought individual stocks, individual bonds, or even if we're working in that mutual fund universe. There are many times where I can take a look at and see two, three, four, five different mutual funds, and they may all have different names to them. One might be a value fund, and the concept of a value fund is where those fund managers have purchased the stocks that they believe to be on sale. right? They're undervalued. They should come back up sometime in the next 3, 5, 10 years. So we're going to see that growth. So there might be a fund that's a value fund. There might be a large cap fund. There might be a technology fund. There might be a dividend payers fund. But if you look at what's inside of each one of those, it's very likely that your top 10 holdings in each one of those are going to be very similar in terms of the actual companies that they've invested in. Now, they may have different percentages. One might have 6% in a particular company, and the next one has 3, and the next one has 2.5, and the next one has 1. But that same company is being held over and over and over again. So what we might think of as having diversity inside of our portfolios may actually not be the diversity that we're thinking about. So we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful when we're doing that, because it can be very easy to just go throw in a Google search, type in the best mutual funds, and you get this, you know, somebody's list of what they think are the best. Now, their criteria could be completely and totally different from your criteria, right? Somebody could say, wow, I got the best fund. It returned 74% last year. I'm making that number up, by the way. And you could go in there and get it, but all of a sudden, maybe that's not the right risk tolerance for you, because that's probably something that's very aggressive and is going to have some really high ups and really low downs. Or somebody else might say, hey, I have a fund that barely lost anything. Well, that could be the case, but it could be that there's little to no risk in there. And not losing oftentimes can also mean not growing either, right? So we need that risk. We need that volatility inside of our funds to actually get the performance out of them that we're looking for here. So just because somebody says, oh, you can just put it in this indexed fund and it'll just go with whatever the index does. While that's true, if the index gets 20% of the return from 5 stocks, well, guess what happens if those 5 stocks have a really bad week or month or quarter or year? Well, you're going to see your own performance fall. Whereas if we are diversified out, not just using an index, but diversified out amongst a variety of places, more than just focused on those 5 stocks that are in there in that particular fund and available, we're going to see a much better, a much more realistic return. So we want to think about all of these different things in light of what we're actually trying to accomplish. Right? We talked not too long ago about, you know, what do we need to look for in the next quarter, right? What could the fourth quarter of this year hold? The short version is it could hold about anything, but what we really need to focus on is not necessarily the individual quarter or the month or the week or even the individual day, but say, in my long-term plan, in those 10, 15, 20 years that I have down the line, how is this going to work? Are the things that I need to have happen happening? Right? Are my investments growing at the right rate in order to help me meet my goals? Now, the question might be, what's the right rate? And my answer to that question is, it depends. Right? It's a perfect graduate school answer. Was taught that way back in my college years. The answer is, it depends. But the reason it depends is because your situation is different from your neighbor's situation, which is different from their neighbor's situation, which is different from my situation. So there are folks that we look at and say, we need to average X amount of growth year over year over year. That means that, yes, we'll look at our individual growth on a particular year, say 2021 or 2020 or 2019, and there's a strong likelihood that it's either above or below what we set as that we need at least. Because the at least part, that's our average. That is our rolling average over the entire plan. Now, we have ways to look at that and say, okay, well, what if we use the five worst years up front or the five worst years at the end, or we just spread these things out through the middle, and we can get into those weeds. Oftentimes, that's a thing called a Monte Carlo analysis, which is a great, big, long, fancy term for we're going to run about 10,000 simulations and see how many times this works well. How many times do we hit the goal? That gives us our percentage of confidence in whether or not this piece is going to work out. But what we need to be doing is comparing not to one another, but to ourselves and those goals at the end. Right? I can recall the first time that my wife and I sat down with an advisor many, many years ago. And this was the kind of advisor who said, okay, I've got a great idea. Do you have X dollars available for that? And, you know, in our early 20s, we would listen to that guy because he had a great idea. And we would you know, take care of that sort of stuff. As we got older, we found another advisor who sat down with us the very first time and said, so what are your goals? My wife and I just kind of looked at each other thinking, well, you're the advisor. Aren't you supposed to tell us that? And he actually looked at us and said, this is your plan. These are your goals. We need to find out what we're aiming for before I can tell you what those things are that we need to use to get to that goal. And I found that as a very novel kind of a concept. This was back in my teaching days. It was from that premise that later on I have built my practice. My partners and I all do this the same way. We sit down, we find out what are your goals, what do you want to do, and then we build from there. We find the right tools to get us to that end. And that's why we always want to keep the end in mind, right? Because everything we do, everything we work through this plan comes with our eyes on that prize at the end, right? Where do we want to get to? We talked not too long ago that retirement is not an age, it's a number, right? If I am somewhere in my late 60s, and I have, say, $2,000 saved for retirement, I can't retire. Not on that. But if, say, I'm in my 30s and I created this really cool business and I sold it for $50 billion, I can pretty much retire, right? Has nothing to do with my age, has everything to do with those numbers and that money as to whether or not I can actually get to that retirement world. Well, folks, we are up against this first break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about numbers. I'm going to talk a little bit about that concept of running that race. And we're going to sort of keep our eyes on that finish line. So, folks, stick around. We will be right back. Hello, everyone. Rick Stevens here with FRS Financial Group. Are there questions that you have about whether you will be able to retire with the lifestyle you want? Maybe you have an old 401k and you don't know what you should do with it. Has it been an addition to the family and you want to start saving for their college education? Or maybe you have a question about life, long-term care, or Medicare supplemental insurance. Whatever your questions may be, give us a call at 719-500-8700. That's 719-500-8700. And with FRS Financial Group, we are here to serve your best interests because we want to see you succeed every step of the way in your financial journey. Whether you're nearing the end of your working years, just starting out, or anywhere in between, if a dollar touches it in your life, we can help. Give us a call at 719-500-8700 to set up a time to get together. And remember to tell us that you heard about FRS Financial Group on KRDO. And don't forget to tune in to Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial Group on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. wherever you listen to KRDO. Investment services offered through Waddell & Reed, Inc., a separate entity. Waddell & Reed Incorporated, member SIPC. Folks, thanks for sticking around through that break. We are back. We're talking about numbers. We're talking about finish lines and races in this segment of Money Matters. And one of those things that I always get in my head is that we're not looking at a sprint when we're thinking about the retirement years and retirement planning, right? This is not a sprint. Typically speaking, we are going to be in that workforce for 30 or 40 or even 50 years before we get to the point where we say, you know what? I'm done. Can't do this anymore. And, you know, I've had discussions with folks, and I have talked to them, and there are folks that have said, you know, I'm never going to retire. I'm going to work until the day I die. And I said, well, that's a good plan for you. But do your employers have that same plan for you? Because there are many times where we don't decide on our own that we're retiring. We get retired by somebody. Then we've got to go figure out, oh, well, that was about 5 years or 10 years or 15 years sooner than I expected. Now what? So when we come into those situations with plans, we can actually have things set up in such a way that, you know, when we face that little hiccup in what was our plan, we could still be working towards those goals. You know, one of the pieces that I like to tell folks is think of this like a race. The most important part is that we finish the race. But there are going to be folks in that race that pull a hamstring. They tear a calf. They roll an ankle. And they're not able to actually finish the race in the way that they wanted to get there. And oftentimes, you've got to have other folks, other runners come alongside, help them across the finish line. Not exactly the way we planned to finish that race, but it is how we had to finish the race. Having those folks around us will actually be a positive thing in that long run, because guess what? If they don't have to actually help us across, they can still be there to cheer us on. Right? So having those folks around you, folks like good tax people, financial advisors, okay, you've got good real estate agents, good lenders, good insurance folks. Having this big team around to cheer you on is a big positive sort of thing. It helps you to keep your eyes focused on that prize, right? It's like those coaches that are out there as well. The coaches that are helping you to train, to see that goal, to get it in there at the end. Now, while one of those pieces with the race is, yes, there are other runners around you, and while there is a measure of competition in that race, ultimately, we're racing against ourselves, right? My oldest daughter is a cross-country runner. She runs for Colorado Springs Christian Schools here in town. In every race, there's an opportunity to set a new record on that particular course. But every course is totally different, right? Some courses are very flat, level. Some of them are even paved or running straight on a trail. And it's those sort of courses that where you get a very fast time on. And you cannot compare your time on a course like that with the same course that is full of hills. It's the same distance. It's still a 5K. But you're up and down hills. Maybe there's a weather change on a particular day. Maybe one day you've got a tailwind helping pushing you forward. The next day you've got a headwind holding you back. You're running against what you could have done on that course in the past. And if it's your first time on the course, guess what? You're going to set your own PR, your own personal record, that time on the course. Well, when we look at this, the world of retirement, and we look at it as a race that we're running, we're all on that retirement course, typically for the first time. Now, you could break things up into my 20s versus 30s versus 40s versus my pre-retirement 50s and 60s into the retirement years. But typically, we've not run this race twice. Okay, we are all headed toward that day where we say, you know what? I don't feel like going into work today. Do I have the assets available to just say that? Do I have the ability to say, you know what? I think I'm done. Kind of done with this week. Kind of done with this month. You know what? I'm done working. Because that's my goal. That's my idea of retirement, is the day where I can go to work because I want to, not because I have to, right? Not because I need to pull in some income for bills I've got to pay, but because I have enough assets that will provide that income so that I can say, you know, I think I'm going to go fishing. I'm done. Or you know what? I think I'm going to go watch a ball game because I'm done. Or you know, I think I'm going to go hang out with my grandkids because I'm done. See, we're thinking about that, but in the same vein, we've all got one race to run, right? I can't retire multiple times. Well, theoretically you could, but I'm not going to retire after 40 years of working and then go unretire and work 40 more years. It's not going to happen that way. I got to see, where am I at? How am I doing on the course? How am I feeling, right? Am I starting to feel a little tightness in a hip? You know, I got a little shoulder issue. Huh, I wonder what that's about. I got to be thinking about, how am I going to get to that next mile marker? Where are those benchmarks, right? Because in that 5K race, typically there are going to be benchmarks at 1, 2, and 3 miles out. So you know where you're at. You can check your pacing. Am I on the right pace? Am I on a good pace for what I want to do? Do I need to pick up my pace? Is it okay if I can take a short breather for about 10 steps? You know, instead of running that hard for the next 10 steps, I'm gonna cut it by half a step and relax a little bit because I've got this big hill I got to start pushing up. Got all kinds of different things to look at in there. Same thing is true in those retirement plans, right? What's going on in the market? How are my investments doing? Where am I at in terms of benchmarks along the way, right? Do I have the right benchmarks? Am I looking at the right things? Because I will tell you that folks who have a more conservative portfolio, your benchmark should probably not be the S&P 500 because that's total equities. There's no fixed income in that at all. So if we have a conservative portfolio and we're trying to measure it against what the stock market has done, we're pretty much going to fall short every time because we're not measuring the same two things. Right? We've got to have the right benchmarks in there. Part of those benchmarks, again, knowing where my finish line is. I have seen races where runners gave everything they had but came up short because they gave everything they had too early. Right? They tried to turn on a speed, a finishing kick, but instead of doing it in the last 100 or 200 meters, they tried to do it at 800 meters. And they couldn't hold it for that long. They ran out of gas, if you will. So that's one of those things we want to do when we do that review of your portfolio, is make sure you're not running out of gas. We want to make sure that when we're looking at different things in the right spots, not being too conservative too soon, right? Or not maintaining too aggressive for too long. So we've got to look at both sides of that. We've got to take stock, if you will, of what's going on in that race, making sure that we are headed to the finish line. We're listening to what our coach has told us and taught us and worked with us on over weeks, months, years, even in this process, to say, that's my finish line. I know where I'm going. I know what it takes to get there, and I am actually doing everything I can to make this work. I'm putting all of that coaching that I've gotten over the years into practice. We're going to make this work. So as we're thinking about that race to retirement, that, okay, I started out very good, very fast early on, slowed down a little bit in the middle, pick it up a little bit here, maybe toward the end, and my eyes are on that finish line. My eyes are on that prize. We got to make sure we've got enough left in the tank to get there, right? We cannot peak too soon. We also don't want to get to the point where we say, oh, you know, I could have done a lot more a lot sooner had I been paying close enough attention, right? That's where your advisor comes in. That's where we will help you take a look at where we're at. Do we need to make changes? Are there positive changes we can make? Are there some defensive changes that we might need to make? You know, when you see a race being run, typically you're going to see a big group of runners and then an empty space and then another group of runners and then an empty space. The reason that happens is because you have a lot of folks who are kind of in it together, if you will, even if they're not teammates, but they are there pushing one another, getting close to that goal. And then at some point, they start to spread out a little bit because some will drop back, some will move forward. Ultimately, though, it is exactly what we've talked about here. What are you doing for you? How are you doing your best job? Is this going to be something where you're setting your own personal record on whatever that course happens to be? Because we can't always look at those folks running the race with us. Reason being, they're running their own race against themselves as well. So we've got to be thinking about it in that line. Well, folks, that is all the time we have for this week on Money Matters. Thank you for tuning in. If you have questions that you would like to have a little clarity on, feel free to give me a call, 719-500-8700. You can also go to our website, frsfinancialgroup.com, click on that contact tab at the top, drop in a question, send it on over. We'll be back again next week, continuing to talk about your money because your money matters. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.